talked about Holy Spirit last week, and he's kind of like a Holy Spirit surround sound. We can feel him, we can sense him, he talks to us, and he's all around about us. And Lord, I pray that they would sense your nearness and your presence. Father, we pray for those that this season is a time of grief and just remembering of people, memories that are lost. Father, I pray that you would comfort those who mourn, that you would lift them up, that you would fill them with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, you would provide and comfort. let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Jesus repeats in there more than once, behold, I am coming soon. And that is something that I want us to focus on. How is the how does the bride make herself ready? People, we need to get reacquainted with Holy Spirit. He's not the weird uncle that we should shun aside. He needs to be intimately involved in our lives. So I want to just spend some time this morning kind of picking up where I left off last week on who is Holy Spirit, how is he at work in our lives, and how can we get to Revelation 22, where we are so close to him and we are so listening to his voice that the cry of the Spirit has become the cry of the bride. That's where we need to go. That is what the Spirit of Jesus is saying to the church today. Don't leave out. And there are four times, at least four, in the Bible that, you know who is Holy Spirit? Well, he's the Spirit of Jesus. It's the Spirit of Jesus. He is a gift. Jesus said, it's better that I go, because then the Father will send the Holy Spirit to you, and he's a gift. And so what are some things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives? I want us to look at that this morning. When we are born again, what is it that comes to life in us? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God tells the man and the woman, he says, don't eat from the tree in the center of the garden, because if you eat from the tree of it, at that moment, you will surely die. And that's one of the lies the serpents told Eve. Told the woman, it's like, well, you surely won't die. That surely won't happen to you. He takes it and he twists it, puts doubt. So they eat it, and did they immediately drop dead? No, they're still alive. But their spirit within them died. The spirit, that communed with the Lord, that was intimate with the Lord. Because what did they do immediately when they ate? They saw themselves and they were ashamed and they clothed themselves. And they didn't go out and meet with the Lord. They started to hide. And that's what sin does. We want to cover. We want to hide. And we don't want to be with the Lord anymore because we want to draw away from him. And their spirit within them died. But when we are born again, what comes to life in us? That spirit that was dead, it comes to life. And Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 5, that when you're born again, you're born of the Spirit. And the Spirit comes into you, you're born again, and there's life in you. And that which is dead, it comes to life. And how important is the Holy Spirit again? Is he just some kind of accessory that's only for the charismatics and the Pentecostals and kind of some of those people? I grew up kind of, my grandfather on my dad's side was Pentecostal. And as a kid, I remember going to church in Oklahoma. That's where they were. And people, I just thought it was crazy, like doing stuff. I just thought, what is, these people are weird, man. These people are wild. And that's about what some of us may think about Holy Spirit. But he's not. But he, how important is he? Is he just for one denomination? Is that what he is about? Luke chapter 24. Jesus is speaking. It's the end of the book of Luke. And he says, behold, I'm sending the weird. I'm sending a thing you can use if you want to. We're not even going to call him by name. Is that what he says? No. I am sending the promise. I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. He's a gift. He's a promise. And he's important enough that we need to wait for him. And that's what he told the disciples. He didn't tell them when he was going to come. And as Americans, we don't wait for anything, do we? If we're at a stoplight, when I'm up in St. Louis, what is the deal with the lights in St. Louis, y'all? They take forever. And, you know, I stand, it's like 2 or 3 minutes. And if I have to sit at a stoplight for 2 or 3 minutes, like, this is a long time. And we just have no patience whatsoever. But we wait. It was important enough. They said, wait. Wait. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he said, and while he was staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Again, he's telling them to wait. And in Acts chapter 19, there's a very interesting little story. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this morning. I may, once the new year starts, we may come back here. I may do another series on, you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And I'm afraid that there's a lot of us in the United Methodist Church or in the mainline denominations that we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. But it was important enough when Paul came there and he said, have you heard of him? And they said, no. And he goes on to tell them about the Holy Spirit, and he came and he blessed them, and this is going to flow into my next point. He endued them with power. There's power. We don't have to be namby-pamby, weak little Christians. What happened when the Holy Spirit came upon the, again, and this isn't just for a few, it's for everybody. There's power when he comes upon us. And again, just another side note, Galatians 5, one of the things that we tend to be really comfortable with are the fruit. And yet in Galatians chapter 5, where it lists the fruit of Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, where's that from? Yeah, it's from the Holy Spirit. He gives us power, but there's also fruit evidenced in our lives. He gives us joy in the midst of unspeakable sorrow. He gives us peace in the midst of anxiety and chaos. And that all of that is a fruit of who he is. And what does he do in our lives? I've talked about some of those, but I've listed how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. At least 6 things. There are more, but I want to go over these piece by piece. What does Holy Spirit do in our lives? He gives us power. There's power when he comes upon us. It was power that made Peter, who was a coward, when he denied Jesus. It gave him courage and boldness in Acts chapter 2. When he came upon all of the disciples that were there, they had been waiting on him. And again, I think it's fascinating. He just said, wait. He didn't tell them how long to wait, but wait in Jerusalem. And there are some of us that we may be anxious, we may be afraid, we might be waiting, we might be praying and contending for something, and we need to wait upon the Lord. And how do we wait well? We wait well by praying. We wait well by reading the scriptures. We wait well by taking time to be with the Lord. I want to flip over to Luke. Luke chapter 8. The version of, it's Luke's version of the parable of the soils in Luke chapter 8. And during this season of Advent, I'd encourage you, where are you? Where are you in this parable? A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, Luke chapter 8, verse 6. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell along thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, he who has an ear, let him hear. Jumping down to verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Confession, this week, it's been a tough week for some of you. Been praying for those that have lost loved ones, the Jeannie and Yvonne and Alex and the Morris and the Burke family and the Eisenhower family. First year dealing with the holidays is really, really hard. And as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares, the riches, and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. We have to take time to wait on the Lord. Spend time with Him. Read the Scriptures. Take time. And listen. Be still. If you have trouble being still in your house, go for a walk. Sometimes when I'm so keyed up and I can't, it's hard to sit, I'll just go for a walk because it's easier sometimes just to pray and think while I'm moving, have something moving, and just, and I can finally settle down. But we have to take time. And they waited on Him, and they received power. And that is dunamis, is where we get our word dynamite, and it gives us power. Gives us power for witness, gives us power for ministry, and Jesus is alive, Holy Spirit is alive, and He sheds abroad the love of Jesus in our heart, and we can experience Him, and we can encounter Him. As I talked last week about John Wesley and having the assurance and the warmth and the comfort of Holy Spirit, that's who we are as Wesleyans. And the symbol of Methodist, what is it? It's the cross and the flame. In Revelation chapter 4, when John is seeing this amazing throne room vision, what does he see? And what is the symbol of Holy Spirit? Fire. Fire. It's power. Something happens. And so we can experience His power. That's number one. Holy Spirit gives us power. And the Holy Spirit, number two, He is our comforter. That's His name. He's a helper. He's a comforter. And I want to encourage you this week, if you haven't read, as you read the Scriptures, read John chapter 14 through 17. In that is some of the most beautiful teaching, concise, intimate words of Jesus to His disciples about the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And in there, He's called comforter or helper. And what did I have to do? Lord, help me. Forgive me. I'm so sorry. I've been ADD this week. Just come and quiet in my heart. Come, Holy Comforter. Come. I need you to settle me. And He'll do that. He'll do that if we take the time. John 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper or comforter to be with you forever. Not just sometimes, but He'll be with you forever. In John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper or the comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. What happens to babies sometimes when they're really, really tired? They get really, really cranky, don't they? And some babies, they just won't settle down. And they just get really, really cranky. And I feel like a lot of us are cranky little babies. And we are, and what do? We're running around. We're busy. We don't want to feel it too much. So we're busy, 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 running around. And the Lord wants to just come, and He wants to hug us, and He wants to comfort us. But we're like that cranky little baby. I encourage you to settle yourself this week. Sit down. Ask Him to come. Comforter, I need you. Help me. Settle me. Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my anxious heart. Some of us are anxious, and we don't even know what we're about, what we're anxious about, because we're so wound up that we don't even know. And we need the Lord to tell us, Lord, I need you to tell me what's going on in my heart. I feel anxious. I feel, but I can't even name what it is. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He's our comforter. Number three, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. As I talked last week, we cannot come to a relationship with Jesus without the Holy Spirit. He's the one that opens our eyes. He's the one that reveals Jesus. And Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1, he's praying for the Ephesian church, and he says, I pray that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know Jesus better. That yes, Holy Spirit's the one that introduces us to Jesus, that He's the one that takes us deep. He's the one that just continues to unveil the beauty. not going to lead us into wackadoo stuff. He's not going to lead us into anything that's contrary to the scriptures. He's the Spirit of truth. And we need him in this day and age where there are so many lies and there is so much deceit. And we need him to teach us, to encounter us in the Word, and to guide us into truth. That's what Holy Spirit does. He reveals Jesus. He's the Spirit of truth. The next one, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. Again, he's repeating, I tell you it's to your advantage. The disciples are so sad. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, and this is what happened to me when I became a Christian. I became a Christian with kind of this, and I was a good girl, but I just had this sense of like, Lord, I'm a sinner. And coming and receiving Jesus, and he changed me from the inside out. But what has happened is I've grown with the Lord, is the Lord has revealed more sin in my heart. And he will do that to you. We don't need to be afraid of that. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But as we grow with him, while he changes us from glory to glory, and he makes us holy like Jesus, and he'll start revealing to you motives of your heart and things in your heart that are like, wow, Lord, there's a lot of pride in my heart. And just confessing that, and he'll take it away. But it's just part of growing with him. He's going to change you. He's going to convict you of sin, and that's part of growing with him. He convicts us, and he never condemns us. There are a lot of Christians that I know that live in condemnation, and that is not, he does not condemn. He will convict, and he'll show you something, and we confess that, and then just love, his love, his goodness is always there. And so that condemnation is not, but the conviction of when you feel uncomfortable, when you say something and you just kind of feel like, ooh, I shouldn't have said that, that's the Holy Spirit saying, yeah. Or you're thinking something and he'll reveal a motive of your heart, like, oh, Lord, forgive me. And he'll forgive you. But we need to listen to those little twinges that oftentimes he gives us. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our teacher. And some of you have talked with me and have trouble in reading the scripture. While you can't understand it without Holy Spirit, when you sit down to read the Word, ask Holy Spirit to come. Lord, teach me in this. Encounter me in this. And he will, because he wrote it. All scripture is God-breathed, and he will encounter you in it. He teaches us. He is our teacher. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. Here it is again, the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. So he speaks to us, we encounter him in the Word. And he's that voice that we need to listen to throughout the day. And you all, he's Lord. And it's not optional. When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you're like, well, Lord, I'll do that if I want to. That's rebellion. And we need to listen to his promptings. Because not only, I think for those of us, again, in the main lines, we tend to relegate the Holy Spirit only to the Word. And he'll never contradict the Word. He loves the Word. He wrote the Word. But he's also a person. And he talks to us. And he'll speak to us with thoughts in our mind. And he'll lead and he'll guide us. And oftentimes, his voice is so soft. It's like a whisper. And you have to be in that quiet place to even hear it. And so many of us are like living in a hornet's nest and living in this anxiety that we often can't even hear his voice. But where did Elijah encounter him? It wasn't in the wind. It wasn't in the storm. It was that still, small voice. And he's speaking. And he's speaking to you. And he wants to lead you and guide you. May we be more attuned I begin to pray a lot, Lord, I want to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. I want to be sensitive. And you know what began to happen to me? I begin to be really, really sensitive to what I say and what other people say. We need to be really careful with what comes out of our mouth, because Holy Spirit is grieved by what we say. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And there are times, and many of you, most of you have probably felt this way, that you are so sad, that you are so grieved, maybe even so angry, that there are no words. There are no words. The only thing you have is literally a wail, is literally a cry. And one of the things that has taken me years to do, and this isn't healthy, I don't recommend it to anybody, is I haven't been able to cry. I wasn't able to cry after my mother died. I was going through a lot. I was diagnosed with cancer at the same time. So there was a lot going on in me. And I wasn't really able to cry and grieve her death until years later. Like 6 or 7 years later, and she's been gone 11 years now. And one of the things the Lord is helping me, and he's restoring me, is he's helping me to cry. I think growing up, it wasn't okay to cry. I had to be strong. And so I jumped straight from sadness to anger and kind of left grief. But the Lord's restoring that. Sometimes our biggest, and if that's you, just to say, Lord, help me to be able to cry. I want to be able to grieve. That's healthy. And we need to be able to cry. We need to be able to grieve. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. And we need to be able to do that, because there's a cleansing that can come as we do that. And there have been times in the last 8-9 months that all I have had, and this is hard for us to do sometimes because we don't want to be undignified, but what is it? That's pride, where I've just been so dismayed, and I've let myself do it. I've let myself, where it's all I've had is just a wail. It's a wail deep in my heart, and I won't do it because of the mic, but Jesus, and just letting it out. And that's the Holy Spirit interceding through you. Let him do that. Don't be so undignified and so stiff that we can't let Holy Spirit cry out, because he's crying out. And Jesus, when he was here on the earth, it says that with loud cries, he cried out to the Father. And if Jesus was the very Son of God and he cried out, how much more, and we don't need to be crazy about that, but we need to yield to that, because there's the Holy Spirit interceding through us. He intercedes with groans and utterances. We need to let that come out, let it come up, because there's something that I feel like the Lord wants to do in his body that's only going to come as we cry out with him. It's the Spirit of God and crying out with him. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Because the cry of the bride, the cry of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, has become so intimate and so in love with Jesus again, and so wants the Holy Spirit again, that the two become one and the cry become one. And what has happened to us that's so sad, it's that we've left not only Jesus outside knocking on the door, but we've left Holy Spirit outside knocking on the door. And we've got so busy doing our programs, doing our stuff, doing all the what we want to do, that we're not even asking, Lord, what do you want to do? What's your heart in this? What are you saying in this? Lord, where's your heart? What do you want? What do you want? And do you hear the invitation in Revelation 22? Do you hear it? Come. 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 It's an invitation to come. It's an invitation to encounter Jesus. It's an invitation to invite others to him. And it's an invitation. And may we be so filled with him and so in love with him and so enraptured with him that we want to invite other people. And you all, the worst grade I got in seminary, I attended Louisville Southern Baptist for 3 semesters. The worst grade I got in seminary was a I didn't do it. I failed that assignment because I didn't do it. Because I'm like, that just seems so fake, and I don't want it to do, so I just didn't do it. It's the only F I got in seminary. It's the only assignment I never did. And that's what a lot of us think about evangelism. Oh, it's this, we got to go tell people about Jesus. But do we love him so much that we're so filled with him that we can't help but tell people about Jesus? That's what we need. And the invitation here in Revelation 22, come, come, come. May we be a people that are inviting other people because we're so filled and we're so waiting on him and encountering him in the Word, letting Holy Spirit shed abroad the love of Jesus and letting him do in our lives what he wants to do, not what we want to do, that we're filled up so we can be his vessels and be shining for him. The cry of the Spirit has become the cry of the bride. And that's what Jesus wants his church to be. May we come out of this whole COVID thing. And whatever happens with whoever is inaugurated, is it Joe Biden or Donald Trump, whatever happens, you all, we're entering into some dark days. The days are dark and they're going to get worse. And we have to. We have to have Holy Spirit in our lives to comfort us, to teach us, to guide us into truth. He's not just this weird uncle, but he's personal, and we need him. We need him. We need him. Invite him in more. I'm going to just pray for you in a minute that you just receive more of him, because we need him. His light, his power, his comfort, his love, so we can be light. That's what he wants us to be. The cry of the Spirit has become the cry of the bride. May the Lord take us there. May we be close enough that we know what the Holy Spirit's saying. We know what he's feeling. We know what he's wanting to do. May we flow with him. And may we repent of where we've been rebellious and we haven't listened to him and we've done our own thing, because there's an intimacy and there's a depth that he wants to take us if we will but yield to him. And we're not going to make it in this hour without him. We need him. We need him. We need him. Father, forgive us where we have shut you out. Jesus, not only have we left you on the outside knocking on the door, we've left Holy Spirit so far outside, we don't even know where he is anymore. And Lord, we need him. And we just repent. And we say, forgive us for doing our own thing. Forgive us for not waiting on you. Forgive us for treating you, Holy Spirit, like the weird uncle. And Lord, forgive us. And you want an intimate, deep relationship with us. And Lord, Jesus, you said that those who worship will worship in spirit and in truth. I pray, Father, you'd teach us what that means. You'd show us. You'd take us deep. Lord, when we believe in you, we're born of the Spirit. And Lord, may we truly walk in the Spirit and receive more of you. Lord, I just pray, any of you that want more, just say, Lord, I want more. Lord, I want you. I encourage you just to raise your hand. Lord, I just release your Holy Spirit on your people. I just release, Lord, the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that there would be a release of power for all of those that hunger for you. And Lord, those that aren't hungry, I pray you would make them hungry. Lord, may we dwell in the secret place in the time of waiting with you. So, Lord, that we can grow with you. So we can learn more about you. And Lord, teach us to hear your voice. Lord, your word says, my sheep hear my voice. And Lord, teach us how to walk with you. How to just go with you, how to flow with you, and not to resist you anymore. We need you in these days, Jesus, and I pray you would take us there. That your cry, your desire, would become our cry and our desire. We need you to do that work in us. We thank you, Jesus, that you are indeed coming back. Lord, I pray we would be ready, that we would truly have eyes to see, that we would have ears to hear, Lord, that we would no longer be thorny. will be filled. Father, I pray you would make us hungry, hungry to see you, hungry for more of you, everything you died to give us, Lord, not for our sake, but because we love you. Pray that the cry of our heart, the cry of our heart would be the cry of a lovesick bride, because we love you and we want you and we want to be with you because we love you. Give us that heart. Father, bless your people. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. Thank you for the power, the comfort, the love, the truth, Lord, that all of the depths of the relationship that we are to have with you and with your Holy Spirit. Take us deep in these days, Lord, and make us hungry for more of you. In Jesus' name.